Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio now is the man who chairs the Board of Trustees at Cape Fear Community College. He's faced a cascade of media questions recently about the surprise resignation of President Ted Spring just a couple of weeks ago, and he joins us now. Jason Harris, welcome to Coastline.
Hey there. Thank you for having me.
If you have a question or a comment for Jason Harris of CFCC, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastlinehqr. Jason Harris, why did Dr. Ted Spring resign so suddenly?
Well, I wouldn't say that it was a resignation that was so sudden. It was something to where many times people come on and they, regardless of whether the CEO or a CFO or a president of a university, sometimes, you know, you come to a point to where maybe it's not a fit. And people do have the option to move on, and that's pretty much where we went.
And you've said that before publicly, that this perhaps wasn't a fit. But from the public's point of view, this was a surprise resignation. As we mentioned earlier in the show, WECT had been reporting on questions around discretionary spending. And I think that it's been established publicly that Dr. Ted Spring didn't clearly violate any specific spending policy. Is that correct?
At this point, there's still some HR and personnel matters that you just want to talk about. You know, Dr. Spring clearly could continue to move on in his career, and I wouldn't want to say anything that could jeopardize that. But in general, the issues that came up with ECT were issues that are the part that the public sees.
Right.
There's the, you know, it's always the small things. It's never the big things. It's always the small stuff. It's the things that people see. And those, of course, are things that have made a number of people in the community really question what we as trustees were doing and if we were making sure that we were doing our job. And we were always making sure that the people on that board of trustees had answers to questions. He always seemed to keep us informed. We stand behind everybody on the faculty, the staff, the administration. So we didn't have any problems with anyone specifically. This was just one of those times when things just didn't work out.
Would you say that the board was concerned before WECT's reports about some of this discretionary spending? Or was it?
We were concerned. No, it was not so much a concern as, you know, just ongoing governance and trying to make sure that we, as appointees to the Board of Trustees, are doing what we were asked to do. There's a number that are appointed by the school board. There's a number of trustees who are appointed by the county commissioners. And there's also a number who are appointed by the governor's office. And that goes across the spectrum of everyone. And a lot of people will have their own individual concerns. But no specific issue was overwhelming. We were just moving forward and trying to get the business of the college done.
And would you say that the Board of Trustees was generally acting as one body? Was there great dissension behind closed doors about what was going on, or did the Board of Trustees largely agree that Dr. Spring needed to go?
I can't speak to that specifically. As I stated before, a lot of people had their own concerns, and they had things that were their key issues. But as far as saying that we are in agreement or not in agreement, I mean, at this point, that's just been one of those things that we've agreed not to speak about.
Okay. And Woody White was in here before, and mm-hmm. he explained sort of the legal circumstance that members of the board face. And mm-hmm. we understand that North Carolina has some pretty serious confidentiality laws and personnel laws.
Oh, yeah.
However, if there was no specific policy in place that Ted Spring violated, and his resignation is related to board member disapproval of his spending decisions, wouldn't that first merit a reprimand before getting to firing? I think that's part of why this seems so sudden to the public, because there was no criticism, no board criticism of the president, and then suddenly he was gone.
Well, as a member of the trustees, but more specifically as the chair, I can promise you we were getting calls day in and day out from the outside. Now, that did not have 100% to do with what we were trying to accomplish. It did not. It was not one of those things that we felt like we wanted to discuss with the public. There was really no reason to discuss, you know, either internal or external pressure. But it's not that there was any. It was just we didn't feel like that that was something that we wanted to discuss in open session. And we kind of wanted to keep it private. And if there was any issues that were that we had concerns with, we would always take it direct to Dr. Spring. One of his commitments to us is to always keep us informed, and hopefully he respected that, and we respected him in the same direction when it came to any concerns that we had over what was going on in the college.
Do you think there's any link between this recent exit of Dr. Spring and the turnover that we've seen at UNCW recently? Is this a trend? Is there a transition going on in ideology at the community college system level or the university system level?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, Larry Clark is one of the people I think I saw on your website, and he left. Now, he moved on to bigger and better things, but he had been at UNCW for a long time. And he was on the board at Cape Fear Community College Board of Trustees. So it was kind of a dual role there working with us in UNCW and what we're trying to accomplish together. And, you know, he moved on to bigger and better things, and it just was luck of the draw. You know, right now there's a lot of turnover, a lot of people moving places and trying to take, you know, maybe career steps that are better for them. But I have not seen any correlation between those two things. And I would hope that no one would try to draw that correlation because it'd be hard work.
So you're saying, because Dr. William Cederberg, interim chancellor of UNCW, also pointed out that North Carolina is an interesting case study for aligning state policy with the agenda of institutions of higher education. And he suggested that one of the factors that we're seeing, and he didn't directly tie this to the exits at UNCW, but said that this is a factor. We're definitely undergoing a transition period in North Carolina. Is CFCC seeing that?
You know, there was a lot of different components to what you just asked. And when I was looking at it, one of the comments that I always tell people is Wilmington's not the end of the earth. And the Cape Fear region is not the end of the earth, but you can see it from here. It seems like the entire world is leaving from wherever they live to come to our area. And we're in so much transition, I wouldn't say that there was one particular thing that was related to the community colleges or any other turnover. I've told people before, it's kind of like a pirate economy. You come here, you bring your job, or you bring your money. And those are the things that are affecting us more than anything else. And Cape Fear Community College is here to make sure that as people relocate here, if they're looking for jobs or whatever, they are here to, at the community college specifically, we're there to provide jobs, job training, that sort of thing. And we're a school of second chances. There's a lot of people that in high school, for whatever reason, could not. Maybe they didn't get into the college they wanted to get into. They come to Cape Fear and they transfer. There's some students that went off to college and didn't do well and need a second start and need a way to find something or a way to get back on track. And then there's grown-ups. There's people my age, guys that I went to high school with, and I go as a member of the board, and we go to see people graduate, and there's guys that are in their mid to late 40s who are now graduating with new degrees, with new skills, and that's what we're here to provide. So,
and this was actually a trend that Dr. Cederberg was talking about. Like these days, we're really looking at equipping graduates, knowing that down the road there will be career changes, more career changes than there have been in the past.
Possibly. There was a time when you got a job when you were 25 years old and you worked there for 40 years and you retired at 65. And now as a financial advisor and a person that's around banks and money on a regular basis, you'll see that someone at 65 years old has been maybe in three careers, changed careers three times. Every 10 to 15 years.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Jason Harris, president of CFCC's Board of Trustees, about the future of higher education in Wilmington and the recent surprise exit of Dr. Ted Spring. If you have a question for Jason Harris, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. We know that Dr. Amanda Lee has been officially installed as the interim president. Mm-hmm. What is Dr. Lee's background? Where is she coming from?
Well, she's been with us she's been with the college long enough to have some institutional background and knowledge, and she was kind of, as far as I'm concerned, a second in command, doing a great job. She's got family who are Citadel grads, so I think that's a pretty big deal.
Jason Harris went to Citadel, just for clarification.
No, and I hate to throw that in. That was just a little school plug.
It's
but nonetheless,
to be proud of.
She is. She's been great to us, and she has really held it down. And when it comes to knowledge of programs and current programs and future programs, she is the one that you can always go to and rely on to know whether that program is going to be a fit for us or not, and to advocate for programs that she sees are coming up on the horizon.
Jason Harris, some observers have said, and these are observers who've been on the outside who don't know what happened behind closed doors, but we've heard that in both the UNCW Gary Miller case and in this Ted Spring case, that boards are starting to overstep their bounds. There's job creep. They're micromanaging and not letting the leaders of their institutions actually do their jobs. And when the board agenda diverges with the leader's agenda, then a head rolls. Is that what happened in this case?
I wouldn't say so. And to address that point specifically, one of the things that when I came on as chair, I started asking for some training. I asked that someone come down and make sure that we as trustees are not overstepping our bounds, and that we knew the expectations that the faculty and staff and the administration had for us accordingly, to make sure that we knew what expectations to have of them. And we were asking for that, and it was something we have not gotten done yet, but it was scheduled for February, and we're going to put that back just a little bit.
So this is actually going to become a policy then. This is the job description or the responsibility of a board member. This is the responsibility of the president.
I wouldn't call it a policy as much as a level of expectation. And I think that all boards should have that. And I've been involved with, a dozen or more nonprofit boards through the last 15 years. And this is not the first time to where an executive director or a manager has left and resigned. And, you've got to hold on and continue to move forward. But as far as it being a policy, I think I would just call it more of a level of expectation.
It's got to be very difficult when you're talking about, you have 14 members of your board, correct? You've got 14 different people, most of whom are leaders in the community in other capacities. Is that a lot of chiefs and not enough followers?
That's a lot of personality in one room. And that was one of my concerns as coming on as the chair is, you never want to be a part of a board that's perceived to be a runaway board, and we don't have that. But we do have a lot of strong personalities, a lot of people, as I started this interview with their own individual hot-button topics. For some, it's athletics. For some, it's new construction. For some, it is budgetary concerns. For some, it's academic concerns. You never can tell, what their individual hot-button topics are. But we can get on the same page and stay on the same page, usually rather easily, especially when we're all working towards a common goal.
We're talking with Jason Harris, who's the president of CFCC's Board of Trustees. If you have a question for Jason, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org. Jason Harris, you were talking earlier about the fact that this board is made up of appointees, four appointed by the governor, four appointed by the Board of Education, four appointed by the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners. Mm-hmm. When you've got political appointees, does that ever create a built-in conflict of interest between what's best for the community college versus what's best for their respective organizations or their political agendas?
I have not seen any evidence of that. And I could see where someone could think that. But once again, back to the individual personalities, these are people that have not been appointed from across, from some other area. These are people that are local to southeastern North Carolina. And we've got everybody from – and we've also got a Pender County appointee. But when you're looking at those people and worried that maybe they have their own agenda, they have things that are important to them. But I would not call it a conflict of interest. But, hey, first thing we do every single board meeting is we have to read out loud that, if anybody has a conflict of interest, if you're going – I can't remember exactly. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. But essentially, if you have a conflict of interest, say something now. And I don't believe that I've ever seen anything to where there would be a conflict of interest.
The Star News editorial, I think that you have addressed that publicly. It was published on January 26th, and this was 4 days after the resignation of Dr. Ted Spring. In that editorial, they wrote, "And the people who pay the bills, the taxpayers, ought to know why a change in leadership is necessary. If this was merely a case of a bad fit or personality differences, the board should be able to explain why. If something more serious were involved, such as mismanagement, incompetence, or creating a poor workplace environment, the public should know that too." Once again, your response to
that. Well, Commissioner White hit it right on the nail on the head earlier when he stated that there's laws in place for that. And if in the event that law were to be overturned, I would be very much in favor of stating, you know, what those individual problems were, and not to state that there's any problems, but there's a perception that there were problems. So at this point, you know, we're looking back at it and saying, what are we allowed to say? What are we not allowed to say? There's certain things because, as I stated earlier, we don't want to be detrimental to our integrity, nor do we want to harm anybody, regardless of whether it's the president or any member of the administration. They would get equal protection under that same law.
So final thoughts, Jason Harris. What can people expect to see over the coming weeks at CFCC?
Good, solid leadership out of Dr. Amanda Lee. She's going to do a great job, and we're looking forward to continuing to working with her. She's going to be a breath of fresh air.
And are you launching a search for a permanent president?
Not at this time. She's a great interim, and we'll address that when the time comes.
Jason Harris, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank our other guests, New Hanover County Commissioner Woody White, Dr. William Cederberg of UNCW. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who called and emailed. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Join us next week when we take a closer look at offshore exploration for oil and gas and how soon we might see it off the coast of North Carolina. That's next Wednesday at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.